Hey, everybody. What an awesome way to start this one specific episode. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you are listening to Carolyn and Joe! Shh! Shh. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm feeling magical.
Just so you guys know, my name is Joe Carabe. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, a writer. But today, I am a podcaster. And across from me is the greatest person I've ever met in my whole entire life. Of course, Carolyn Bilewski. Carolyn, but who do we have? Who do we have here today?
We have
today?
A special guest.
Special.
This music is playing in honor of our special guest because I heard she's a big fan of Harry Potter. We have
Annie.
Miss Annie.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey. So this is the first time you've ever been on any podcast whatsoever. Is that
true?
That's
right. I called into one before, but I've never been,
The star.
You called into a live podcast or a radio show?
A live podcast.
Oh, sweet.
About Harry Potter. Yes, of course.
Was it a Harry Potter natured show? Everything Harry Potter?
Yeah, they were called HP Prognostications, and I called into during their podcast because they were taking questions live. So I called in and I asked a question. Can't remember what the question was at this time, but they're really cool, and I still keep in contact with them.
Are they still podcasting?
I don't think as much, but they definitely did a run for a while, and
So Annie, I'm going to have to apologize ahead of time. I just have to apologize because I'm not going to know all the Harry Potter lingo.
That's all right.
But I'll be okay. Is it okay if you say something and I say, I don't know what that means? You're just going to have to tell me.
That's fine.
You're going to have to tell me. Like, even when we were describing, that podcast that you called in on, that already sounded like something that I was like, what? Where does that come from?
Yeah. I think they were kind of, trying to predict, what was going to happen.
Okay.
This was while we still didn't know, not all the novels in the series had come out or, the movies hadn't all come out yet. And they were kind of, it was like their predictions for what they thought was going to happen, And they would take questions and everything and... Yeah, kind of bounce around theories. So it was cool. It was cool.
I love the fact that it was only just recently that I found out that you were into Harry Potter. I don't know why. I don't even know why. I was shocked, but I shouldn't be shocked. It all sort of makes sense visually and. But you're to me at this very moment you are the Harry Potter fan, the biggest Harry Potter fan that I know.
Yeah.
Is that cool? Do you like that?
That's awesome. That's the way I'll protect that title.
Have you been to the Harry Potter Disneyland section?
Yeah, I have.
Is that only in Florida?
No, so they're building one in Hollywood, California, in the Universal Studios there.
So it's not associated with Disney.
Yeah, it's Universal Studios.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're building one in Japan, I believe, as well. I have been to the one in Florida. I went there in 2011, so not... since they've built the addition, where they have Gringotts now and everything. But
they got
They have Gringotts Bank.
What's that?
It's the
You're
Wizard
gonna
Bank.
You're going to have to basically
explain. Yeah, okay. This whole episode is going to be.
I went too fast.
No,
right?
Yeah. It's like speaking a new language for me.
Okay.
You're going to say something. I'll be like, all right, we'll describe that.
So Gringotts is the Wizarding Bank.
Okay.
And we first see that in the first book in the series, Sorcerer's Stone. Harry goes with Hagrid to the bank.
This is going to be talking to a little child. That's what it's going to be.
Okay, that's fine.
But hold that thought because we're going to get into Carolyn's news, and I swear to you, we're going to dig as deep as we possibly can this.
Sounds good.
But Carolyn, what's the news, miss?
Oh man, I like how I'm actually having a news segment, but I have nothing to report because
nothing to report.
I mean, well,
all is clear.
We just. Banked off. I'm using the word bank. We just banked off a DC Podfest recently, and that is now over, and we don't have anything else for the rest of November and December, which I'm actually really excited about because we had a busy year, and the week before we had the blood drive, and all the other weekends before we had SPX and Baltimore and New York Comic Con, a loaded fall. And I feel like we've been promoting those shows for several months leading up to them, but now we have nothing.
It's weird because I remember when we first were promoting those shows and we're like, those are just months from now.
Yeah, I was early in the year, I was just like, yeah, whatever, New York Comic Con's forever from now. But then it snuck up on me. Basically, I really don't remember what happened between April and October. I have no idea what happened. It was like a black hole. Because 2015, I don't know about you guys, but I've talked about 2015 with other people, and we all agree it's the fastest year ever.
Has it been the fastest year for you, Annie?
Yeah, it has been. It's flown.
Like ever.
Yeah, yeah, no.
This is the fastest
just,
one ever.
It's just like the calendar page is flying right off, like an old-timey movie.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But I will say, a couple weeks ago, I did book a show for us. It's a new one for Carolyn and Joe. We will not bring the podcast there, but Curl Studio will be at Tidewater Comic Con, and now I'm announcing a date for 2016.
See, you do have news.
I have news, everybody.
It's so crazy to think about that.
I just don't want to think. See, this is what's going to happen. Then it's going to like rush up to it. I don't want to think about May 2016 just yet, but it's mid-May. It's in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and I believe it's going to be the third year of that show, but it'll be our first year, so that's exciting. We're going to breach into Virginia Beach. Breach into the beach. That's what they say. Yes. I don't know what that even means, but bleach.
I don't know, man.
I think I meant to say reach. Reach into the beach. And Virginia
breach
beach.
Into the beach.
Yes. Make what you will with
what I just
said.
We're going to use that one.
Yes. So yeah, Virginia Beach, we're coming for you. And we will be there. It's a two-day show. I don't want to promote anything else now.
I'm done with promoting for the rest of the year.
I thought I was done with promoting. I thought I was done with promoting. But it is exciting, and I hope you guys also enjoyed our last podcast with Ellis Emba. He is also known as Shocked Undertaker Guy. We did that live at DC Podfest, so I would encourage you, after you listen to this episode with Annie, I would encourage you to take a chance on Ellis if you have not listened to that yet, because that got pretty emotional, and he's a good guy. He's out of a lot of people I've met, I can just straight up say that is a good dude. And there's more to him than just that face.
We can say when this episode does air, that is officially my birthday week. So that means it's going to be the worst week I ever had in my life.
You're going to be celebrating your birthday.
Oh, man. But it's a secret. It's a secret.
But we don't
Annie
know
knows.
About it.
Annie knows. But you don't know the date yet, do you?
No.
No. Okay.
I try
to keep it a secret.
Keep
but
it
I don't
on
know
the
why.
DL.
I don't even put it on the Facebook because then I get spam with all these fake
on
Facebook.
The Facebook.
On the Facebook, the book face.
On the book of faces.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the book face.
Right.
Well, you know, we can at least just say for now, happy birthday, Joe.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks.
Whenever that may be.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're just
going
to wish it to you now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there is a countdown that's happening on someone's website that's leading to it.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's news.
Yeah.
On Joe's website.
So maybe you can figure it out there.
You can find it.
Just coincidentally lining up to that.
It's a little Easter egg.
Yeah, a little Easter egg there.
I like how you have a birthday countdown on your website,
but it's not a countdown to my birthday. But it's just
it happens to
perfectly line up to that.
Yeah, it's not for the birthday, but it's for a launch of the new website.
Yeah,
so you can check that out. I mean, that's exciting.
That's the news from
Joe. Or do we know what's going to happen like on that day? You know, like are you going to do like some crazy pumpkin that like gets distraught through the candle?
Like it melts, like, the face of the pumpkin melts.
Yes,
I should.
That's already been done before.
I'm just going to have a...
From Batman.
That's perfect, though. They only did half of it, though.
Yeah. You can do the other half.
Yeah.
The rotting pumpkin.
So speaking of conventions, Annie, you just came back from Dallas? You went to Dallas?
I did.
This is the first I ever heard that you've flown out to a convention.
In my existence. But yeah, no. So my
is
brother...
Is this a Harry Potter convention?
There's a Harry Potter element of this convention, and that's one of the main reasons I went. So, right, so it was... Dallas Comic Con has these fan days events where it'll be like a weekend, and they have them like... I think it's once every few months they'll have like these weekend kind of smaller conventions, I would call mm-hmm. them. This one had about 10,000 people at it and was back October 16th through the 18th. And so my brother actually lives in Dallas. So I found out about this, that the fact that Bonnie Wright from the Harry Potter film series, who plays Ginny Weasley, was going to be there. And
How far advanced did you know?
It was like a no-brainer. I knew back in like July.
Okay, so you did.
And
you're planning a year
around
this.
And you're saying it's a small convention when there's 10,000 people?
I guess so.
See, I don't consider that a small convention.
No? Okay.
Because we've been to some that are like at...
Like 200 people.
Like a fire... Okay. Like a fire what is it, like a volunteer fire?
Okay.
We've been to conventions where it's like the cafeteria of a school.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I think maybe because it was at the Irving Convention Center and it's such a big facility that it seemed.
And they only took up part of it.
Well, no, I mean, they took up all the, like, all four of the floors, but it was really nicely spaced out. So you didn't have a whole lot of trouble with lines or stuff like that.
It wasn't New York Comic Con.
Yeah, it wasn't like San Diego.
That's kind of what I was
like. Crowded, but there were still a lot of people there. I mean, 10,000.
Yeah, there was definitely a good amount of people there. And it's always such a great atmosphere because you're all there for like a common goal and a common purpose.
Yeah.
And you're all like there to see the same people and you just have like the same passions about things.
Yeah.
So
you were there specifically to see her and you never seen her before, right?
No, never.
This is
seen
on
her
the
before.
List. She's on the list of must meets.
Yeah, definitely on the list. And you know, when I found out it was in Dallas, like I said, my brother lives 20 minutes from the convention center, so it was like it was a no-brainer. I just bought the tickets right then, and everything. And it's kind of like surreal. I think I went up to her and I just kind of like word vomited everything that I ever wanted to say.
I'd like to find out, but the line about when you're waiting to meet them, because that's also an interesting thing too.
The line is like,
was there a big line for that?
There was.
But did you have to wait?
Yeah, I had to wait. Yeah, there was definitely a line.
Because that's like waiting in line for like a roller coaster. You know what I mean? You're like, you know there's going to be something at the end of this and there's a lot of tension.
Yes, and I'm just like going over in my head, okay, this is what I'm going to say. This is what I want to
say.
Did
you know, did they give you rules ahead of time? It's like, okay, she's only going to do this. She's only going to sign one.
No, they didn't really give you rules, but they did tell us that she was taking selfies with people.
Okay.
For
a charge?
For a charge.
That's a new thing, though, because if you think about it, that is a photo.
Yeah. No, so I was like, oh, my gosh. And then I had to, like, think about that. And so there was just a lot going on. But I did, you know, I did talk to her and everything, and we did take a selfie together, which was really, really neat. So, and then I went to her photo op later.
Did you start judging your camera? You're like, is my camera good enough to capture this moment?
Yeah, I was kind of like trying to make sure, and I wanted to take it as opposed to like her handler person take it.
Yeah.
I was like, they're gonna screw it up. I have to be the one to do it.
When it's not you shooting, and you know me, it's like when you're not the one shooting it, they're gonna mess it up.
Right.
So what is the cost difference between the selfie and the professional photo op?
With the
school background, right? There's like
the marble. Yes, yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Yep.
It was about like a $10 or $15 difference.
Cheaper or
the selfie was cheaper.
Okay.
Yeah, than the professional.
I guess because they have to print it out too.
Yeah, yeah, and you can like get a digital copy for like an additional $10 too.
Dang.
If you want. So
they know how to. They know how to milk
they
it.
They gotta monetize that.
They do.
It's getting into business.
Did you contemplate when you're about to take a selfie, like just accidentally hitting like the video record?
I don't know if that was you who said that to me, but somebody else asked that to me. Like, oh darn, I accidentally got a video of us. Oh, sorry. Like, oh. Shoot.
Because I don't know on your phone, but you can still take a video and a photo at the same time on certain ones.
It had to happen so quick because I found out like right when I was about to go up there. So I just didn't even have enough time to like contemplate anything else. And I was just so like focused on what I wanted to say. I was just like, okay, this is going to happen, but I can't even focus on that until I get out everything I want to say.
Annie, looking back at it now, were you shaking?
Yes.
Really?
Oh my gosh.
So
yes.
Like you had your phone and your stuff.
Yes. Yes. And I had like butterflies in my stomach. I don't know. It's weird because it's like,
because we met celebrities and we could give less of a fuck about them.
Right. It's like you meet someone who has been a part of something that means so much to you, who has helped bring it to life, you know? And it's like meeting a hero.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so the feeling is just I can't even describe it. Like, you guys know, like people who you really, really admire, like if you ever meet them, if you've ever met them, just like that feeling of this person actually exists.
Yeah.
They're right here in front of me. I'm speaking to them and they're speaking back to me. Like it's surreal.
So
and you know, it's wild.
Let's bring it back. I'd like to know, when was the first time you even like heard about Harry Potter or started reading the book?
Right. So I was probably like 10 or so. My mom had actually read the first book.
Your mom read it before you?
My mom read it before me.
Like,
yes.
as to gauge, like, okay, this is okay for
her. Well, just because she had heard great things about it, you know, and it was like this new, like, hot thing that was, you know, that just come out. And She's like, Yanni, you should really read this. And she was talking about it She's like, the way they talk about like the sparks, the gold and red sparks coming out of their wand. She's like, oh, the language is just so beautiful.
Okay, so I've never read the books. And, can you describe to me what the verbiage is for when they do, when they describe that? Is it something really elegant like that?
Yeah, it's just, it is. I mean, I just the whole thing, just the way that she writes is just so, it's just so masterful. And she's able to, she takes all of these like characters from like Greek mythology or history, or like, you know, you have constellations, you know, all these names come from something. They all have like a root, you know?
Yeah.
Or some sort of meaning behind them. And you'll see, you know, maybe traits of the personality, like if this was based off of this specific like Greek god or goddess, we'll see personality traits come into the actual character that are kind of based off of not just the name, you know, but also those personality traits of whoever they're based off. So she's really, really brilliant, and she's really good at like tying all of these intricacies, because there's so many different things that go on, you know.
And yeah.
there's so many. If you're not skilled at writing, there's a lot of opportunity for holes in the plot to be formed.
Yeah.
But I haven't really found like any
yeah.
any holes, you know. And despite the fact that there are so many intricate details, kind of strung along throughout the series, I don't really see any sort of holes in what she's written.
See, Carolyn, I think Carolyn was actually the one that like even put a Harry Potter book in my face. I've never actually seen a physical one until Carolyn like had it like in her hand.
Yeah, I had the first one, but it wasn't for me. It was actually for my brother. I believe he got it for Christmas or his birthday or something. Mm-hmm. And I know maybe he wasn't good at reading or something, but he just didn't get into it. And he didn't like it. And it was just sitting there. And
he's a sports guy too, though.
Yeah, he's into sports, but I don't know if that matters or not. Like, sports people don't like Harry Potter. I don't know if that coincides. But
sometimes reading in general.
But I don't know. He read like all the almanacs about the numbers and stuff for sports, but yeah, I don't know. I don't really recall him being a big reader.
Yeah.
In terms of actual novels. But he does read like magazines and I think short stuff about sports, and he was into journalism. It's just that he cares about the content of sports. But anyway, the Harry Potter, for whatever reason, never really got into him. And I remember it sitting around in the room and I picked it up and read it, but I didn't get further. I didn't like, cause also at that time I wasn't like a big reader as well. Like, I was a better reader than him, I think so, but I don't know, either way, like, it was just sitting around the house for a while, and I was like, Harry Potter, and then, like, you know, so that's how I heard of it, the books first. And then also there was this kid, I used to be a camp counselor at Rec Pack, and there was this one kid who, like, wouldn't play any of the sports, and he would just be off to the side reading Harry Potter the whole time.
Now, Annie, was that you? Did you not play any sports, you just read Harry Potter by the side?
Yeah, that sounds more like me. definitely more of an artsy person than a sports person. But yeah, no. So it's funny that you say that though about your brother, because I had kind of a similar experience when I first started reading the first book. I, you know, my mom had said you should check this out. So I picked it up and I read maybe like the first 25 pages or so, and I was like, this is boring. And I put it down.
You're like, this is boring.
It's a true story. Yeah, yeah. Because the beginning is kind of slow, you know, because it's, you know, you're getting into like his current family life. You know, he's living with his aunt. So
he's like under the stairs, right? In like a little compartment.
In the cupboard. Yeah.
Cupboard.
So, but then I picked it back up for whatever reason. I can't remember why exactly. I just gave it another shot.
Do you know when, like, time of season or something like that? Was it fall or summer? Sometimes that makes a big deal.
I don't know, but it was a little while after I had put it down the first time, you know. It kind of took a little while for me to go back and pick it back up. But after that,
you were hooked.
I was hooked. And it's the first book in the series is the only book I really, really remember ever not physically being able to put it down. Like, I could not stop reading it.
So you just like went every single day. Just
I was
gotta
like,
get...
like, there was like one time where I was, you know, had to sit down to eat dinner. My mom's like, Annie, she's like, yeah, you have to put the book down. We have to eat. I was like, no, I'm almost done. I was like, no, I can't. I just can't do it, Mom, you know.
That's awesome. So... I just can't do it. Feed me food.
Obviously I love all of the other books in this series, but I have that specific memory of that first book being so impactful on me and being like having that very distinct, you know, experience with just not being able to put it down.
Yeah, you can't put it down. So, have you ever had that with any other book since, or that's the book?
That's the one. That's the one. And that kind of, and you know, that started, you know, obviously, like I said, like all the other ones in the series were great. But
I'm trying to gauge, were you guys, the characters, the similar age? I'm trying to think
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, so, yeah, so, because he, in the first book, he's just turning 11.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of grew up
with
them. And then also with the actors as well. Because here's a fun fact. Dan Radcliffe, his birthday is one day before mine, same year.
Coincidentally.
Coincidentally. You know, it's whatever.
Hey, I like it.
Yeah,
this could be a conspiracy theory with
this. It could be. It could be.
See, I think that's really cool, though. I feel like, because I sort of had the same thing with, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, how we were, like, going through the same grade and same age at the same time, so you can connect with that.
Yeah, and I grew up with it, you know? That was my childhood into adulthood,
so
you know?
So what did you like about it? What got you, like, what made this become your thing, you know?
I think it was just like,
was there a person? Was there a scene?
I don't know that it was anything specific like that. I just think it was just the thoughts that it evoked in my imagination. Just like the way, you know, how deeply I was able to, you know, imagine and kind of fantasize about this world. You know, and just kind of the pieces of my imagination that were evoked by it, and I don't even know how to like put it into words, but you know,
did you wish that you were there? Was that one?
Oh yeah, yeah. And it's like, this is the closest to real magic.
We're like, this is what I want my life to be like this.
Yeah,
why can't
like,
when
am I going to get my owl?
Right, exactly. Because there was this ordinary boy, you know, and all of a sudden he gets this letter saying, guess what? You're a wizard. And then, you know, and then like the, you know, then he goes off to Hogwarts and everything. So it was just like the possibility of that, you know, happening to someone completely ordinary just made me just so happy, you know, just like such a wonderful feeling.
How deep did your fandom go? Like, I'm assuming like there, all right, how many books? There's like
seven.
You tell me. All right. There's seven books. <Sorry. laughs> Because I'm lining it up with movies, so you got books.
Eight movies.
Okay, yeah. See, that's what I was gonna. Yeah. I didn't want to be wrong.
No, you're.
But I was
good.
Gonna be wrong anyway.
You're good.
But through like your history with Harry Potter, when did you know that you're an ultra fan? Like, was it book four, or was it when the movies came out? When did you know? Like, okay, I think I'm.
I'd say really with the first book.
With the first book?
When you can't put it down, that's...
But like, is that when you started...
When you're skipping dinner, that's...
I'm not sure if they had merch. Did they have merch or anything like that for the first book time?
They might have had some, but I think a lot of...
Did you start joining like Harry Potter clubs? Were you in school and they're like, hey, you reading that too? Did you start... Your friends were revolving around who else was in Harry Potter?
I started looking up information online and like trying to find like online communities and like go to the website all the time. And I think more so, you know, you were able to do that once like the movie started coming out, because then you could actually like put a face to all of these characters, you know, in a way. So I think that's also when like more merchandise came, because you know, they had the actual people on there. So like, you know, that definitely spiked the merchandise thing. But I can name, you know, a whole laundry list of stuff that I have, you know, or stuff that I've...
So let's just go through the list. Did you join a club?
I...
That's a yes or no question, Nancy.
Right. No.
It's complicated.
I'm trying to think if I did. I don't...
Like
I don't,
a mailing list, or you're part of a message board? You don't have to say who your name is, but...
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I did. I did. And I also... I wrote for a time for a Harry Potter website.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
was it like a fan fiction?
No, it wasn't it wasn't like a fan fiction. No.
I wish they did this.
I saw some scary fan fiction recently, and I was just like,
no,
oh, what?
Yeah,
no.
It was it's called PottermoreNews.com, and it was news about, not necessarily about Harry Potter, but it was like Harry Potter, it was anything like Harry Potter related or J.K. Rowling related, anything like that. So we would report on news, like when they were doing the addition to Wizarding World of Harry Potter in Orlando. You know, we wrote about that. We wrote about J.K. Rowling's charity Lumos, and that's to help displaced children in Europe, in the poorer countries in Europe. So it was definitely, there was a Harry Potter element to it, but it was more so like about J.K. Rowling in general.
Cool.
So yeah, that was the most recent venture.
Yeah.
There's also this there's a Harry Potter kind of, it's like a convention or, you know, something like that, down in Chesterstown, Maryland.
Did you run that?
Is it there every year?
I didn't run that.
They pick locations every year for different city?
It's always in Chesterstown. That's what it's called. It's called the Chesterstown Harry Potter Festival. And I know it's happened this year and it happened last year, and I went last year.
Okay.
And it's like this really small town, and they kind of just like transform it into like...
They Potterize it.
Yeah, they do. So like you have these store owners, like this... It's kind of like an older like drugstore, and they made like the bank Honey Dukes. So they were like selling sweets and giving away sweets and everything. And they had like a scavenger hunt, and then they had like all these
that's really cool
themed items at one of the restaurants, you know, like all these Harry Potter themed items or drinks you could get. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So when you heard that they're being made into movies and you saw who was being casted in it, were you like pretty excited or were you appalled by who they chose?
No, oh my gosh. Yeah, I was like beyond excited. And I was just like, I have to figure out everything I can about these people. Like, I have to like, oh my gosh. I need
Are
to,
they
like,
worthy of this?
Like try to live vicariously through them, you know? Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm thrilled. Yeah, absolutely thrilled. You know, and these kids were like... the luckiest kids in the world, you know. It's like I love them, and I also envy them because I wanted to be them, you know. So
yeah.
It was definitely like this kind of like a love envy thing, but I was so thrilled.
So in the timeline of the book versus the movie, like what's the history on that? Like what book were they on when the movies came out?
When the first movie came out, gosh, that was back in like, I think they were somewhere around book four.
Okay.
Maybe.
So about halfway.
Yeah. I think it was somewhere around book four when the first movie came out. Yeah. But don't quote me on that.
Yeah. That wasn't meant to be like a pop quiz. I'm just trying to see like...
Were you you like first in line? Were you midnight showing of Harry Potter, the first movie?
The book releases.
Or the book, yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I started going to the midnight premieres for movie four.
Okay.
And I went to all midnight premieres after that. And then for book releases... I went to the midnight release of the seventh book, and I remember I was in a drama program at the time because it was over the summer. It was right before my birthday. It was like late July, right before my birthday that the seventh book was coming out, and I was in a show of The Little Mermaid, and I was this. It was we had like five performances, and I was the same character every night. So I was like,
"Are you allowed to say who you were?"
Yeah, I was one of Ariel's sisters.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah. Her name is Andrina. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, that's going to be a secondary name for you now.
Okay, Andrina. Right. So I told my mom, I was like, you need to go to Barnes & Noble and get in line. You can miss the show. I'm the same character every night. Like,
yeah.
Just miss the show.
You've seen
go
it.
Go get in line. She was 10th in line.
Wait, does that mean, did you sing in this?
I did, yeah. Well, that's a story
for a different world.
Day. Yeah, I did sing. Yeah, I acted all throughout high school over the summer. I was in four productions.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So, but I was like, you need to just go get in line. She was 10th in line, and I dressed up. You know, I went with a bunch of friends. We all dressed up, and we were just like, Barnes & Noble was just like unbelievable. There was so much excitement. And, you know, because this was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was it for, you know, and so people were just out in full force, you know, going hard for Harry Potter. And it was great. It was, yeah, so a lot
of
fun.
So when you say you dressed up, you weren't in the mermaid outfit. You were in the Harry Potter outfit.
I had changed from the mermaid outfit to the Harry Potter outfit, yes.
You merged both of them somehow.
Yeah, right.
You're like, I'm the mermaid with the wand.
I think I just ran out of that at the theater that night. I was like, peace out, guys. I got to go. I got to Barnes & Noble.
And they're like, what's up with Annie?
Yeah.
As you're running into the night, you're like transforming into a
right?
wizard.
Exactly. Yeah, I was like shedding my mermaid outfit and putting on the robe and everything, yeah.
So who out of the cast so far have you met? Because, you know, that's great because you've watched them since like the beginning.
Right.
Was there anyone that you like didn't even like at first of being that was acting in one of the roles? Or like, he's not right at all?
I had some, oh gosh, controversy. No, I'm just kidding.
Is it controversy?
No, it's not.
The movies are done.
I know. So Richard Harris played the original Dumbledore. He played Dumbledore in the first two films, and then he passed away.
Yeah.
And then Michael Gambone came on and did Dumbledore for the rest of the series. And I didn't really feel, I felt like Richard Harris embodied more of who Dumbledore was in the books. I feel like he...
That's why he was casted in the...
Right, exactly. I feel like he had more of like... Just how Dumbledore was just nice and calm,
yeah,
and smiling a lot, you know, whereas Michael Gambon was, I never really saw him smile. Like, you know, he just tended to be a little bit more rough around the edges.
Yeah.
And like, I remember there was a scene in movie four, when Harry's name comes out of the Goblet of Fire, and you know, Dumbledore and all of the heads of houses, or all of the heads of the other wizarding schools, and like professors are coming into Dumbledore's office, you know, where all the other champions are selected, and you know, Harry, I'll give you a lesson. So,
no, dude, tell me a right, lesson. Okay, I want to know.
You had to be 17 in order to put your name in the Goblet and be chosen, and there's only three champions for the Triwizard Tournament.
Yeah.
But then Harry's name comes out as the fourth chosen champion.
I remember this scene.
And
I do
they have to go with what the Goblet says. Like, he has to compete. But you know, Dumbledore, all these people are storming into the office, and Dumbledore just kind of grabs Harry by the shoulders and kind of like pushes him up against the shelf, and there's things falling, and he's like really aggressive. He's like, "Did you put your name in the Goblet?" And it's just like in the book, I think it even says like he asked him calmly what had happened, and in the movie he was just like so aggressive, and I was
like, drama, we need that.
This is not, this is just not
edgy,
right? I guess so, but I was like, this is not who I knew and loved from the first two films, like how I pictured him being throughout, you know. But I think Michael Gambon did such a wonderful performance at the King's Cross scene in Deathly Hallows Part Two, where Harry is having like his near-death experience. And he goes to King's Cross Station, and it's like all this white around. And spoiler alert: like Dumbledore has died. He died in the sixth book, you know. So he's deceased. But Harry sees him, you know, at King's Cross Station. And I think he just did such a wonderful job with that scene. Kind of, almost like kind of a redeeming thing for me. I was like, all right, Michael Gambon. All right.
How many movies did it take?
Right.
So were there any other like situations like that where you're like, I don't know, the book had it this way, but were there any changes? Because I never read the book, so I don't know what I just take the movies.
Right. Yeah, there were other changes.
Like, was there ones that like were like big changes that like changed the flow of the whole thing, or are they just little small ones? They're like, well, they only have 2 hours to tell this movie. We can't have everything.
Yeah. There were some things that I felt like, I was like, why did you have to have it this way when you could have had it this way? So like where they had... So, like, the character of Ginny. Ginny Weasley.
Oh, okay.
Bonnie Wright.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right. So, in movie number six, or book number six and movie number six, that's when she and Harry get together.
Yeah.
Right? And they had Quidditch on a, like, two-movie hiatus, because it's not in the fourth book because they're doing the Triwizard Tournament, but it is in the fifth.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they didn't include it. So they take Quidditch. They bring Quidditch back, right?
Yeah.
And... the way that Harry and Ginny are supposed to get together, it's after Gryffindor wins the Quidditch House Cup. They beat Ravenclaw. Harry's like, he couldn't play. I can't remember the reason he couldn't play, but he doesn't know who's won. And he's like outside of their common room, and he's like about to find out whether they won or lost, because he's about to go in and there's either going to be like cheering or whatever, or just nothing.
Yeah.
So he goes in, they've won, everybody's cheering, and Ginny played Quidditch, and you know, she was on the team.
Yeah.
And she runs up to him and she just kisses him, right? And it's like this big passionate moment. And in the movie, it's totally different. And it just, I don't know, it just didn't.
Wait, for people who don't know, what happens in the movie?
So in the movie, she goes with him to the Room of Requirement to hide this, the sixth book is called The Half-Blood Prince. And it's based off of this potions book that Harry finds. It's a property of the Half-Blood Prince. And it has all these like... kind of cheats for how to make these potions, like better ways to do it. And it has these like spells that this Half-Blood Prince person, who's Severus Snape, spoiler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It turns out to be. But but he uses one of these spells and it has really negative effects. And it's just, they discover that like the book is just dangerous, you know, and it just shouldn't be used.
Yeah.
So he and Ginny go hide it in the Room of Requirement. You know, they just like put it away somewhere, and that's where she kisses him. And it was just, I was just like, really? I was like,
why
Quidditch back and you didn't include the scene where they win the House Cup?
Why did they have to kiss there?
And
was that such a romantic moment? Like, oh, we've hidden it. This is where it has to happen.
I don't know. I was just like, really? Come on.
Did you roll your eyes in the movie theater?
I did.
Like, all right.
Because I was expecting like that.
You wanted that book scene.
She said she had a blazing look in her eye, and I was expecting that like blazing passionate moment where everyone's around and everyone you see everybody's reactions to it, and it was just
now it's a quiet moment in a
hiding of like, a book.
Oh. What was the name of the room?
The Room of Requirement.
That's an awesome name, though.
Annie, you should have that in your house. I should be like, this is the Room of Requirement.
Like when you have, when
I need to hide the book.
Right. I feel like in the future when you have like a giant house that
that's
should
like
be
your library.
That should, yeah, I definitely should. Yeah, well, because when I live downtown, I am in Baltimore City.
Did you have a Room of Requirement?
No, but we had like a little cupboard under the stairs.
Oh, nice.
I walked in and I was like, oh my gosh, Harry Potter's in there.
This is where I'm staying.
Yeah. I was like, gosh, I'm moving into this room. Right. Forget the bedroom upstairs. I am living in the cupboard under the stairs.
It's all be awesome. Sacrificed for right. Harry Potter.
Right, exactly. Oh my gosh. So
So you've at this point, who have you met?
Okay, so right, I just met Bonnie Wright. Like I said, I've met Dan Radcliffe twice.
How did you meet him twice?
So he's been in two Broadway shows, Equus and then How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. I saw both of the shows. What you do, you go to the matinee, right? Because then you have your playbill. Because you have to have
a
playbill.
Wait, is this the one where he's naked?
Yes, that was Equus. I went with my mom.
You went with your mom.
She was just as excited as I was. Okay.
You're like, he's gonna be naked on this one. We're getting front row.
Oh my god.
He was naked for like a solid 15 minutes. Like it was
solid
like,
15
it was,
minutes.
It was a while.
That's putting yourself really out there.
Yeah, was this a big theater?
It was a while. No, it wasn't.
Is this pretty personal theater? So you're like, So you're like, man, I love Harry Potter. Even more now.
Yep.
When was that? That was in between or was that after?
That was,
Were the movies still going on?
I think it was after.
Yeah.
Because I remember them, there being like headlines that like,
must
it
see
was
Harry
definitely
Potter.
After Harry Potter right. ended, though, because they were like, he has a new image and he's now he's nude in Broadway.
Because then he started to explore Broadway and stage productions. Yeah. So
you saw him naked there.
I did see him naked. So you go to the matinee because you like in order to get like in like the front of where they come out to sign autographs, you have to have a playbill. So you go to the matinee and then you come back in the evening and stand outside for a while the show's still going on. And get really, really good,
good standing spots.
Right.
Yeah,
and then that's when I met him.
Were there a lot of people already like camped out there? Do they know this technique?
So we got basically front, but then like these people just pack in, and you have to like elbow, you have to like push people back.
And Annie, you're the smallest person I know, so that must have been like pretty challenging.
I mean, I kind of it kind of was, but it kind of wasn't because I don't take up much room, so I was able to like still secure my spot in the front without.
Did
like,
they have a guardrail or anything like?
Yeah. So and that's the thing. Like if you push up against it too much, it could fall, and then they'll just leave. They'll take him out of there because they'll be like, nope, it's a dangerous situation.
Yeah.
They'll whisk him right out of there. So I was like, guys. I was like talking to the people behind me. I was like, guys, stop pushing. He's gonna leave.
Were you doing an angry voice, or were you just like calmly doing that? We're all here for one reason. Come on, chill.
I think it was somewhere in between. I was like, if we push this down, he's gonna have to leave. Like, oh my god.
We don't want that.
It's like I will.
But you were still up front,
didn't
though.
Didn't happen. I was still up front, so I met him at both of those, and then.
Did he just come out the door and just went right into signing? Is that how it was?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you able to talk to him
for like a second?
He was like, hey.
It was basically
nice signature.
Well, and then in How to Succeed, I wished him a happy birthday because I think it was around the time of our birthdays, and I said like, you know, that mine was. He was like, oh, happy birthday to you too. You know, I told him that like my birthday was like a day after his. I was like, and I did my stupid nervous laugh. I was like, you know.
When do you bring in the stupid nervous laugh, in the beginning or the end?
I don't even. I just
or
I
waiting
don't
even for
know.
The response.
I don't even know. I recorded it and I could hear myself.
You record? Oh, you bootlegged it? Oh man, you got to send me that file.
Okay. Yeah.
How long was that? Was that like at least a good 10 seconds or what?
It was maybe like 5 or 10 seconds. Yeah.
So how did it go? Like you guys are just up against the guardrail and you're just going like.
Yeah,
like
and he kind of like glanced, but he's really focused on signing the autograph. So he'll kind of be like, okay, right. Be like that. Yeah. I'm showing you this,
these are just all playbills,
the listeners
though, right?
Can't hear. See that? Yeah, yeah. Right. So
no one's also just shoving some sort of like thing in his face.
Yeah, they say like if you bring like Harry Potter stuff like to that, he's not going to sign it. I mean, and you know, you should respect the fact that like. He's doing these shows. I mean, he's doing so many performances a week and he's working his ass off. So you should respect the fact that like if you want to come and see him, you have to like you have to, you know, actually like be interested in the show and, you know, want to actually come there to see him perform in the show.
Exactly.
But yeah. Cause that's what I heard. Like if you bring, I didn't even attempt to, I was like, no, I'm just not gonna, I feel like that'd just be totally out of line, you know, at that time.
Especially if they already made a request, you don't want to.
Right. Exactly.
Why would you abandon what they want?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I was like, no, you know, this is why I was here to see him, you know, so.
And you went twice though, too, right?
Yeah. Well, two different shows.
Two different shows.
So, were you like, is he gonna remember me on this?
No. It's I wasn't really expecting him to, but you know, it would have been cool, obviously. I was like, oh yeah.
You'd be hoping.
I'd be like birthday girl.
Right. I'd be like, oh my god, you know.
It's like, oh hey, Andy, you saw this. How do you like this one?
But so in Equus also, Richard Griffiths was in that, and he played his Uncle Vernon.
Oh, cool.
Dursley in Harry Potter. So they were both in Equus together. I met him as well, and he was so nice. He's since passed away. He passed away, I think, a couple of years ago now. Maybe not that long, but he kind of came out after Dan had come and like signed and everything and left. So the crowd had kind of dissipated a little bit, but I was like, I want to meet him too. Like,
yeah, everyone's gonna be coming out. Actually,
like, like this is perfect. So it was like in the middle of January, and I remember he walks outside and he's like, "What are you all still doing here? It's just freezing cold. Get out of here!" You know, we're like, "We're here to see you." And he's like, "Ah," and he posed for a picture for me. Like, I took a picture, and he just kind of looked up, and he was like, he gave me like the camera a look, and it was really cool. He was a really nice man. And then the fourth person, who I didn't actually meet, but I went. To a recording when I was in California, I went to a recording of The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson when he still was hosting the show, and Kenneth Branagh was on as one of the guests, and he played Gilderoy Lockhart in Chamber of Secrets. So
that's cool. And you didn't even know that he would be on the show, because usually you don't know the guests, or did you know?
I couldn't. There were two, like, there were listings of who was going to be on, but I couldn't tell if it was his day or like somebody else's day to be on. So he was like, it was like a 50-50 chance that he was going to be there. So I was like, I mean, hopefully he will, but if not, you know, it's okay. But he was the
perfect
guest. So it worked out well. Yeah. But evidently at this Dallas Comic Con, they have someone from Harry Potter there like every year.
Every year.
They had like the Phelps twins who play Fred and George Weasley there, I believe, last year, and they've had Tom Felton there, plays Draco Malfoy in previous years. So
does Emma ever go out to do anything?
Yeah,
she's too busy working though.
Like, yeah, Emma. I mean, yeah,
like doing like demand. Cons and stuff like that. Well, yeah, she's probably working.
She's working.
People were saying like when Harry Potter ends that she is probably still gonna be the one that's gonna be able to still branch out beyond that. Do you think that's true?
I feel like they all have the opportunity to do that. I think I've seen a lot with her in terms of films.
Yeah.
And also with Dan Radcliffe too. But like both Dan Radcliffe and Rupert Grint have done the stage productions.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the one that Rupert Grint was in. I can't think of the name of it right now. But
I like how you call Daniel Radcliffe Dan. Like
it's your pal.
I've never actually heard anybody refer to him as Dan. So like, I kind of like that because it makes you feel like really close to him.
We're basically
like,
best friends. Yeah.
Is that what they call him?
I mean, that's what I do with, like, I never say Nicolas Cage. I'm always like Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Blah, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Dan Radcliffe. Yeah. You know, just casual day with Dan.
I just think that's great.
Yeah. The one with Rupert Grint was like, it's only a play or it's just a play. It was something like that. Like, Nathan Lane was in it.
Yeah.
And
Nathan Lane's in every play.
Yeah. Yeah. So so I mean, yeah, I think that they all, you know,
they all have just a potential.
Kinda, yeah, they all have a potential and they're all kind of doing their own thing.
But Emma,
you know?
I feel like has, cause she's already broken through at Harry Potter as far as I'm concerned.
Because she was like in My Week with Marilyn, the Wild, what was that one?
Perks of Being a Wildflower.
She was in
The Bling Ring.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And she was also
Noah, yeah, she was in Noah.
Right.
That End of the World movie with Seth Rogen.
Yes.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
is the
yeah.
end.
This
as
is the end.
As
yeah.
herself. Oh my gosh, so funny.
I mean,
that.
She's been in a lot.
Yeah. Hermione stole all of our shit.
She
so
was,
funny. Yeah.
Yeah, with the axe and all those.
Yeah, that was really, really great.
Impressive. So the extent of, I have not seen this in person, but apparently you do have a Harry Potter shrine. Is that what it is?
A shrine?
I guess you described it as a shrine.
I have a shelf.
Yeah, that's a shrine.
I have a shelf. Yeah, so I guess technically a shrine. in my room on one of my bookshelves.
Are we allowed to tell the world what it consists of?
I think it's great.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it consists of so many things. So it's
like, is it packed? Is it like a packed?
Oh, it's jam packed. It is jam packed.
That sounds like a shrine to me.
I can't even. I try to like find crevices to find. There's no more room. There's just. So it has all of the books on it. It has.
Do you have different formats of these books? Like you know, like a
paperback, hardcover, the hardcovers that you don't actually read, but you have for collection.
How far do you go with this?
So, the first book is paperback. The rest are hardback. We do have the collectible of the seventh book, but the rest are just like the hardbacks that we read. You know, that we've read. I do want to get a box set eventually, like a deluxe, because they're coming out with like new artwork for the series now. So I'm kind of interested in maybe you know getting some you know the collectible box set with the new artwork. We'll see.
Because you have to.
Yeah. No. And we have the Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, like the UK version of the book.
Like the import?
Yeah. Yeah. We also have a copy of that as well. So we have the books. I have games, like board games and card games. I have like three wands on the shelf. I have
Are they different?
Calendars.
Are they different wands?
Yeah.
Or are they the same?
Are they for different spells and everything? Like you can only use it for certain things.
Well, I have one of the light up wands, which is like the Lumos wand.
Yeah,
I got that for like my last birthday.
Your most recent birthday.
My most recent
this
birthday.
That's awesome.
It's one of the things on my list. So
is that when it gets to this point? It's like you know when it's time to get a birthday present or any type of present. It's sort of like, well, she wants some Harry Potter.
Harry
stuff.
Potter is always a safe bet for me. Yes.
Has there ever definitely. Been like? Has there ever been like a double dip? Where like I already have that. Sorry.
Not that I can recall. Actually,
that's awesome. They're doing their research.
I'll tell them. I'm like, I want this specific thing.
Oh, and you tell them specifically.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, and there's like a vast. There's such a vast array of things.
You have like a PDF you sent them. Like this is. Yeah, this is right. Right.
This
on
is my
list.
Amazon wish list.
Right. This is the Amazon wish list. So yeah, I have that. I have. Also, I'm wearing some of my stuff.
You're representing
I'm
your
representing.
Team today.
I have a blanket. I have.
Do you have a pillow with Dan's face on it?
I don't. I haven't gone quite that far yet. But the blanket has his face on it.
Nice.
So.
What is better? What is better to have him to rest your head on him or have him cover your body?
I like the coverage.
Right. So there you go. Yeah, and I mean, but the shelf just has, it's constantly, stuff is constantly being, and I have other books outside of the series that she's coming, like Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Quidditch Throughout the Ages, and then there's like all of these like, you know, volumes that people have written about Harry Potter, like just, you know, exploring the world or kind of like maybe like a guide, like a movie guide or something like that. So I have all these other books that people have written.
Speaking of Fantastic Beasts, that's happening, right?
Yes.
Are you excited about that?
I am. And it's going to be three movies.
When you heard about the news, like that this evidently, is more yeah. is happening, were you just like...
Oh, yeah. So there's that.
Were you excited or did you want to put a stop to it?
No. Never. So there's that.
Some people are like, no, you should have just quit while it's at your peak. You know what I mean?
You know what?
I mean, there's still money to be made when it gets down to it. It's not necessarily about money, but there's still a world to do.
She can do whatever she wants with it. It is her series. Like, just... I give her free reign to just... Well, then there's also that, and there's also Harry Potter and the Cursed Child stage play that is coming out. I think it's... Is it January of 2016? I think it's... Yeah, I think that's when it started. It's soon. But it's about like, Harry's... One of Harry's sons. And it's kind of like the 19 years later continuation of the story. And she... It's so funny because she's like, I'm not writing an eighth book. Like... This is it. But she didn't say anything about plays. So
yeah.
There's a loophole here somewhere.
This is where, you know, it's coming in. And I'm actually, we're trying to make plans to go see it in 2017. Because it's
our tickets
sold
already
out.
On sale.
Oh, they're on sale and they're like sold out.
Oh my goodness.
For
decades to come.
When you're like in 2017, sounds like getting tickets to the Olympics. You know?
Exactly. Basically the Olympics.
Yeah.
It is.
I was getting worried about talking about next May.
Yeah. You're like,
now
we're
talking about
2017.
Yeah, it's I'm like, yeah, and they had like the tickets, you know, they're selling.
Did you already buy tickets?
We're trying to sometime this month before the month ends. Yeah, just, you know, to get. And it's
guys,
it's a two-part,
you have to, everyone listening
show.
To this, you have to see the seriousness in her eyes and what she told me that. She's like, yeah, we're trying to get it at the end of this month. It's happening.
It is. No. And it's because the show is going to be in two parts. So you can
it's
go.
It's two parts?
It's a two part show. So you can go for like a Saturday or Sunday matinee and evening, or you can do like a Thursday evening and a Friday evening. And if you get a ticket, it'll automatically, like for the part one, it'll automatically
block
a seat, the same seat for part two.
I've never even knew that was possible.
Yeah, it's pretty.
That's
so we're just
awesome.
Gonna like, spend a day at the theater in London. I've never been to London, and that's one of the places I wanted to go so bad.
Does she live there in her castle?
She lives in Scotland.
Okay, Scotland. Yeah. I knew she had a castle.
In her castle?
Because I did see pictures online of the castle, yeah. And it's phenomenal.
It's pretty exquisite. Yeah. No, she's up in Scotland, but she's, you know. She's continuing with that. She wants to write another children's book. She's doing her like Caramone Strike, like the Robert Galbraith series. She's done like The Cuckoo's Calling, and she's doing everything with her charity Lumos now. You know, so she's super busy, but
yeah,
she's like,
great.
I have so many ideas for books, and she definitely said she wants to write another children's book. She's like, my biggest fear is just not being able to write them all before I, you know, before I die, before the end of my life. So
are you going to attempt to meet her one day?
She's number, oh my gosh, I would have been to that before. No.
Yeah.
She's like number one on the bucket list of
people
I want to meet.
How's that even possible?
Does she ever go out for any type of book fairs?
I'm sure that she.
I don't think there's
maybe
like,
she used
has,
to.
I'm sure that she has in the past, but
yeah, I doubt
that.
Can
you imagine the chaos?
But you think it's not just gonna be a book festival. It's gonna have to be like her festival, you know,
the JK festival.
Yeah, it would have to be something like. I would have to be like super involved with whatever it was. You know, it would have to be something that was going on. I don't even know like what kind of event it would be, but it would have to be. I would have to have like super intense involvement in it probably to even. Get that opportunity, but
you never know. That could possibly happen. That can happen.
It could. I have tremendous faith that it will, because it just has to. It just has to. So
that's awesome. You're gonna go to London to see the stage, or you're gonna try to go to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I bet they got some other Harry Potter stuff you can check out around in the UK in general.
Oh yeah, you can go on like the tours, and they have like the studio tour, like the Warner Brothers studio tour of London, which has like original like sets and costumes, and it's.
I wonder if they have packages that you can already buy that comes with the whole like Harry Potter London tour with the play. They may try to.
I have to research it more, but they may try to like have some sort of a
package deal.
There's this school in Poland now, evidently that's like some sort of a wizarding school where you can have like a live role playing like 4 day experience, 3 or 4 day experience.
That's awesome.
In like Hogwarts basically, and it's just like
that's another one to add to the list. Yeah, when we were driving to like a barbecue joint in the middle of the night in Austin, Texas, there was a sign. That said, like, wizard school this way.
Like, what? Yeah, I was
but
like,
we were driving at night.
Did you go?
Yeah, but we didn't. We're like,
it was,
what is that?
First of all, it was raining. It was night. I think it was like one of our last nights in Austin. And this barbecue place, it's called Salt Lick.
Uh-huh.
And it's not necessarily near the city, it's in the suburbs, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we're driving down this like lonesome road and we're like, where is this barbecue place? First of all, that was our mission. And then, like, as we're driving by, we're like, wizardry school.
There's a sign. Like, there's a sign
like,
that
like,
said, it was a big sign. And an
we're
arrow
like,
said, wizard school
Potter,
this
like,
way.
A sharp turn into that road. I'm like, oh my gosh.
We passed by. It was like, do you think we should have checked that out? It's like some random in the middle of nowhere wizard school.
It was really
school.
Dark too. It wasn't like lit. Yeah. The street wasn't lit. We were just like, what? And
that's
another
so
funny,
odd.
Although it's not owls. One time we're I forget where we're going, but there's an actual residence. So it's this really nice looking, I don't know what type of house to call it, but it's land that's not necessarily a full acreage farm, but it's nice land with a residence, but they have a garden center there. So somebody actually lives there and maintains a small garden, and you know, in the fall they sell pumpkins and all that, and you can get flowers and anything you need. So one time we were passing by it, and they had this giant sign that said eagles. Like, and it had a picture of an eagle. I'm like, are they selling eagles there? Because I knew they sold, like, rabbits and stuff. So I was like, eagles? And then, like, I think I made you turn around
to
check it out.
Yeah, made turn around. Like, there's eagles that way.
I was like, oh, man, they're selling eagles. We gotta get some. You know, like, but then, like, we turned around and then we pulled in, and they were actually having, like, a Boy Scout meeting. So I was I was like, yeah.
That's what that is.
I got it now. That's where the meeting is. Funny. They probably have a kid that's a Boy Scout.
But that wizard sign, though, there could only be wizards there.
But, I mean, owls.
We get there, it's just the basketball team.
If it was owls, man. I love owls. Have you seen, there's a video online that it's called The Lovely Owl.
Haven't, no.
Okay, yeah. Google it next time.
Yeah.
But basically it's this owl and someone's petting it and it's like purring and its eyes are like almost sleepy.
It's literally for 2 minutes just being petted.
It's just like being petted and he's like totally enjoying it.
Aww.
But the lovely owl.
Okay, I'll look that up. Yeah. That sounds sweet. I love owls too. They're
if you're ever like
cool animals.
If you're ever just like, I need to relax. You just put on Lovely Owl.
Put on Lovely Owl and just like meditate to that.
Because like whenever the owl gets like petted, like the whole thing sort of like shrinks down and then pops
it's
back
like,
up.
It's like melting like with the hand. That's you can so tell sweet. How much he enjoys it.
Yeah. I'll definitely check that out. That's cool.
I feel like we've just gone on like the tip of the cusp of what you and Harry Potter and all that can really mean.
Yeah.
Because I really wasn't expecting you to come in like wearing the gear and everything too.
I'm getting into the spirit, you know?
Getting into the spirit.
I have to.
And that's one thing I always enjoyed is that like Harry Potter did get me like into the spirit pretty much, you know?
Yeah. It's helped me get through a lot in my life, like hard times and everything.
Yeah.
It's definitely been an outlet for me to kind of escape into that world, you know, and find some happiness there, you know, just like find a good amount of happiness there. So it's just been awesome. It's been wonderful. Wonderful journey and continuing journey, you know, continuation of the journey. Because I feel like there's always something new that they're doing. So I like the fact that it's never really ending. It's kind of
I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
I don't see anything stopping.
And I love that, you know, just keep it coming. Keep it coming.
I like the fact that you're like purely genuine about every bit of Harry Potter. Because there are some people that are like, I don't know, they're like, you know, they're, I'd like to call them just like Halloween costume fans, where it's just like, just a seasonal thing, you know, but like
it's a lifestyle.
You live it,
man. It is.
Yeah. Have you ever painted a lightning bolt on your forehead?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that the go-to costume whenever?
I have a full costume. I used to... So Ginny Weasley's my favorite character, and that's why it was also really cool to meet Bonnie Wright, because like Ginny Weasley and Luna Lovegood are my two favorite, but like that's why it was so cool, like to like see this person who brought it to life, like and I just oh my gosh, I could
flesh and blood,
right,
man, you know?
Right, I could talk about it for days, but so I used to for the midnight premieres, I used to dye my hair red and dress up as Ginny Weasley for the premieres. And I had like, when I went to Harry Potter World, we got like the legitimate robe, we got her wand, we got Ginny Weasley's wand, that's one of the wands on the shelf.
Yeah.
I got her pygmy puff, you know, because that's the little animal that she carries on her shoulder.
You went 100%, that's what you said.
I went 100%, and I, you know, I got like, I had like my high school uniform actually kind of looks similar to what they, so I wore like my high school uniform, I wore, you know, and I had all the elements there, and that's what I would do to dress up.
That's,
you know?
Awesome.
So, yeah, it was cool.
For me, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like the goal is to one day make something that people go that far into it, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe one day we will, all of us here.
Yeah. So we need to really get like Awesome Con to bring in somebody from the Potter universe.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And that would be local, you know?
Yeah. That would be awesome.
we'll work on that. Hanny, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah,
first ever podcast here. Hope you had an awesome time.
It was awesome time and awesome subject to talk about. So,
should we get this out there? Can people contact you, or do you want to just have people comment on the post here?
Yeah. No. So if you want to contact me, just comment on the post. And if you want to talk more, I'll shoot you over my information.
Cool. So this show again is brought to you by Stray Productions. StrayProductions.com. Check out my work at JoeCarbeo.com, GoStray.tumblr.com, also 1-shots.com, and somewhere else. So there's a musician that may or may not be me called Mr. Bandit. Check him out on SoundCloud. What do you got, Carolyn?
Well, I have a website. It's carolynbelefsky.com. You can check out all my comics, illustrations, design work, and other fun stuff. And also I have a comic strip called Curls, and you can read that at curls-studio.com/curls. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, and all that jazz. You can find me by my name. It's @CarolynBelefsky.
And of course, CarolynJoeShow.com, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, and wherever you can listen to audio.
And leave us a review, because I heard that if you put in reviews, you get more attention and get pulled up in the ranks and all that jazz.
Let's pull us up in the ranks, man.
I don't really broadcast that, but might be cool to get that going so people hear about us and you can get the word out and other people can know about the Carolyn and Joe Show.
That's right. Annie, thank you again.
Yes, thank
it was
you.
It was a pleasure.
Ow,
pleasure I learned a lot.
Always.
I learned a lot.
I'm glad.
There you go. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.